I'm going to talk about execution templates. It's a kind of different caching compared to other papers that we have already heard in this session. I'm Omid. This is a joint work with Hong, Chinmay, and Phil from Stanford University. So, over the past decade, cloud computing and data center technologies have changed the scale and scope we can store and process information. Mining big data is not just limited to software engineers. These days, mathematicians, physicists, data scientists, they can all easily harness hundreds to thousands of machines in these data centers to process petabyte of information without knowing anything about the details of distributed programming, consistency model, storage systems, none. These all have been possible through cloud computing frameworks. They provide simple interfaces for broad range of applications from SQL queries and stream processing all the way to machine learning and graph processing algorithms. They automatically distribute them within the computing cloud. They have elastic scalability. You can run multiple different applications within your cluster, so you can increase the cluster utilization. And when you run at the scale, you're bound to have some of the nodes straggle or fail. So they have built-in load balancing and fault recovery algorithms. During the talk, I'm going to use three terms very frequently, so I'm going to define them so we are all on the same page. When I talk about a job, it's an instance of application that runs within a framework. And this job is transformed and partitioned into many smaller computation units, which are potentially parallel, called tasks. And the control plane is the main layer in the cloud computing framework that partitions the job into smaller tasks, schedules them, does load balancing if needed, and recovers from node failures. So the general architecture of cloud computing frameworks over the past decade have been quite the same, but their performance characteristics have changed dramatically. If you look at MapReduce when it first came out, it was quite IO-bound. The task would read a piece of information from the disks, do some computation, and then push the intermediate and final results back to the disk again. So the tasks were in the order of tens of seconds, sometimes in order of minutes. Later on, as cloud computing frameworks gained more traction in the community, we realized that we can port in more applications. And with simpler interfaces in systems such as Spark and NIAID, we realized that for most applications, we can fit the entire data set in memory. So we had in-memory data analytics. And immediately, by removing the disk I/O overhead, we could have tasks that are orders of magnitude, 1 to 3 orders of magnitude faster immediately. And engineers started realizing that now the CPU is the bottleneck. The most of the time is spent crunching the data on in-memory data, which has led to a new wave of research I would like to call optimized data analytics. If you look at the latest version of Spark, they claim 10x improvements for SQL queries over previous versions. There is ongoing research on common intermediate languages. In some cases, you can have higher-level codes run faster than handwritten C. And at the end of the day, you can always switch back to codes that are written in lower-level languages, such as C and C++, instead of Python and Scala, higher-level languages, which is common in many cloud frameworks. So the general trend is that the task lengths are getting 2 to 3 orders of magnitude faster. But the question is, does the overall job completion time get shorter? So individual tasks, those small computation units are getting individually faster. But does it mean that the job is getting faster? And the general answer is not necessarily. Here I have a really simple but representative example. Hopefully it's going to put the problem in perspective. I have a logistic regression algorithm. It operates over 100 gigabytes of data, and I'm running it over 50 and 100 workers. So the first thing here, I have the old RDD interface of Spark implemented in Scala. As you can see, the black bars is the computation time. If I increase the number of workers from 50 to 100, the computation time drops. And the control plane overhead is fairly negligible, so around 28% of the compute time. Of the overall iteration time. If I were to use the latest Spark 2.0 technology, they use data frames, so they do not have a lot of overhead for boxing and unboxing, and they directly operate over the data bytes in the data blocks. So the compute time drops by a factor of 8 to 10, but as you can see, if I increase the number of workers, it actually hurts the performance. Right now, 80% of the time is spent in the control plane. Spark is trying to just generate those small tasks, assign them, and then schedule them. So actually, it doesn't scale well. And if I were to actually push it one step further, consider a hypothetical case that Spark runs tasks as fast as C++, it would get even worse. So I can, the compute part would be 50 times faster than what it was before, but the overall application is only a factor of 2 faster. So this is not just bound to this application. This is just a representative example. What I want to conclude is that the control plane is actually an emerging bottleneck for many cloud computing frameworks. And what actually right now the community is doing about this is that there are 2 philosophies. They either have centralized systems, centralized control planes in systems such as MapReduce, Hadoop, and Spark. They have limited task throughput, around a couple of thousand tasks per second because of the centralization, but they have very nice reactive and low-cost scheduling costs. You can easily change the schedule on the fly, so those are really pleasant from the application point of view. On the other end of the spectrum, we have distributed systems in more recent systems, such as NIAD from MSR or TensorFlow from Google. With decentralization, they can increase the task throughput orders of magnitude, but because there is no central leader or omniscient point in the system, the scheduling change cost is quite high. It's the order of milliseconds. Any change requires stopping all the nodes, updating the dependencies and data flows, and resuming the application. So for low latency application, this is not really pleasant. What we would like to present is a new abstraction called execution templates, which is for the control plane of data analytics. And you can increase the task throughput by orders of magnitude while you keep the low latency and flexibility of the scheduling with a low cost. So hopefully by the end of this talk, we are going to see a framework called Nimbus, which uses execution templates in its control plane. And if you actually increase the task, decrease the task time, you can actually see the improvements in the job completion time. So the white part, the control plane overhead, would disappear. And the solution is basically based on an observation that most of the advanced analytics are iterative in nature. If you look at machine learning algorithms, graph processing, image recognition, voice recognition, they are usually long running, and there is always a loop in the system. So the same tasks are running over and over. And one implication of that is that if the application is repetitive, then the control plane is also repetitive. You would see similar tasks that execute with minor differences. Here, I assume a centralized controller for the execution model, which is connected to a driver program, and it transforms the driver program to a task graph. And the controller would just generate the tasks and assign them to the workers. And each task would have a metadata. For example, depending on the framework, it could be a task identifier, a list of data that it accesses, a dependency list, a function that it executes, and a list of parameters that are passed to that function. So when the workers receive that metadata, they can generate a local task graph and schedule the task locally. If there were a loop in the task graph and I was running the same block over and over, you would see similar tasks getting assigned to the workers, but you would see minor differences in the metadata. So, for example, the task identifier changes and the list of parameters that are passed to the workers. For example, you have a model parameter that is changed, that is passed to the function, and the task identifiers are updated for the load balancing and fault recovery reasons. So the general idea of execution templates is very simple. Instead of assigning the task from scratch, let's cache them in parameterizable blocks. And later on, if you want to rerun the same set of tasks, you would just load the new parameters. And then based on those cache blocks, you can rerun the same set of tasks. So this is the general idea, simple, but the devil is in the details. So I'm going to go over in the following slides in the details. But the general idea is that there are 3 mechanisms for execution templates. Instantiation, which is the simplest one, you would actually use instantiation to increase the task throughput instead of assigning the individual tasks. They have edits that would bring back the dynamic load balancing and task scheduling to the table by changing the structure of the caches on the fly through the controller. And the patches let us have dynamic control flow. The preconditions for the execution templates may not always hold, so controller on the fly can patches the template so that they made them work with the worker states. So there's a lot of information in this slide. I'm just going to make it more clear in the coming slides. So first, instantiation. The first time ever that a block of tasks is executed, controller would assign them normally, one by one. As the workers execute them and schedule them as usual, they would also cache a copy of them locally at the worker. So for later iterations, if you have to rerun the same block of tasks, instead of sending them one by one, you would just instantiate them with new parameters. So actually, in this example, I only have three tasks per workers, but depending on number of cores or multi-threading and micro-partitioning, there could be in the order of hundreds to thousands of tasks per worker per each block. So that would actually save a lot of time generating the metadata each time and also transferring it to the workers for execution. So far so good. The general idea is caching, but the caching would imply a static behavior. You're rerunning the same task graph each time on the workers. How would it work out with dynamic scheduling? We would like to reactively change the schedule where the tasks are assigned, and also we want that change be at the granularity of individual tasks. That's where we have the edits, because if the schedule changes, the template is obsolete. You cannot rerun the task, rerun the execution template. So instead of reinstalling the entire template and paying the cost, they would have edits, which is basically adding or removing tasks from the templates and modifying the structure of the date execution templates in place. So because controller knows the entire task graph, it could update the dependencies properly within each execution template so that the computation can perform correctly. So going back to our example, simple example, if I were to take one of the tasks from the right worker to the left worker, I cannot rerun the old execution templates that are already installed. Controller would actually remove one of the tasks from one template, add it to the other one, and update the dependencies accordingly in the add or remove messages. And only after that, it can rerun the templates with a new number of tasks on each worker. And also, it becomes tricky when it comes to dynamic control flow. So if you think that if you had fixed number of loops or you have a static control flow, it would be much easier to cache the templates. But in many cases, you have data-dependent branches in these applications. There is a loop you have to run until a convergence criteria. So we would like to have nested loops in many cases, so we cannot do loop unrolling, and you would like to have dependent branches in these applications. So the idea is that we would cache these blocks of tasks at the granularity of basic blocks. A basic block is a part of the driver program that actually has a single entry and no branches except at the exit. This is a common notion in the programming community, programming languages. They use it for optimizations. So each of these blocks will have a set of preconditions. By preconditions, I mean, for example, a list of data objects that are held in memory that are needed by the data by the task to operate on. And controller online would check the state of the workers and checks whether it matches the preconditions of the templates or not. So for example, in an example, the implied assumption was that each of the workers has two pieces of data objects that the tasks need to operate on. If one of the data objects is not there, for example, it was pushed back to the disk or it needs to bring it back from another worker, controller can monitor that, and if needed, it would patch the worker state and then load the data in, for example, load it from the disk or bring it from another worker, and only after all the preconditions matches, it can instantiate. In actual implementation, you can tie the patches to the actual instantiation message so that you can only rerun the execution templates if the patches could successfully finish. So again, to summarize, they had three main mechanisms: instantiation for task throughput, edits for dynamic scheduling, and patches for dynamic control flow, to have nested loops and data-dependent branches. So we have implemented execution templates in a framework called Nimbus. Nimbus originally was designed to handle low latency and fast computations in the cloud. It embeds the execution templates, as I said, for its control plane. And in addition to traditional data analytics, it also supports Eulerian and hybrid graphical simulations. By these simulations, I mean the ones that are used in the movie industries for the special effects. Specifically, we are using this FISBAM library. It's an open source library. It is used in the movie industry, and it has won 2 Oscar awards for the contributions to the special effects in the movie industry. The latest one was in 2015. The code is publicly available. You can refer to our website and also at GitHub. nimbus.stanford.edu. There is extensive evaluation results within the paper itself, but here I'm just sampling some of the evaluation results. Going back to the example that I started with, here I have three frameworks, a Spark with a centralized controller, NIAD and Nimbus. Because Spark and NIAD run, Spark runs in this, uses a Scala language and not at C#, but Nimbus uses C++. So in order to give a level grant to all the frameworks, here I assume that NIAID and Spark runs tasks as fast as C++. So the compute part, the black part, is the same for all the frameworks. And I'm measuring the white part, the control plane overhead. As you can see, Nimbus can match the performance of a completely decentralized system such as NIAID. So now the question is, why wouldn't I use NIAID? It already exists. It's because in this simulation, I'm not changing the schedule at all. It's the steady state. It comes tricky when you have to actually change the schedule and you want to have the good characteristics that the Spark provides. So in this example, x-axis is time and y-axis is iteration number. If I actually change the schedule, here I'm considering very, very conservative scenario that every 5 iterations, 5% of the tasks are changing. Note that even if one of them is changing, in case of NIAID, you need to stop all the workers, reinstall the data flow, and rerun. So the curve would look similar for NIAID. But here, even as high as 5% of the task changes, it's almost negligible for Nimbus because the cost of edits are almost negligible and you can adapt to the changes in the schedule. So in this particular case, Nimbus would run almost 2 times faster than NIAID. And I have some numbers in terms of task throughput. So now comparing systems with a centralized controller, Spark and Nimbus. If you increase the number of workers for the same logistic regression algorithm, you would expect that the task throughput would go high too, but the Spark actually saturates at about only 6,000 tasks per second, whereas Nimbus could actually keep up with the increasing task requirements of the application. Actually, it's growing faster than linear time because as you increase the number of workers, the tasks are getting shorter, and also you have more tasks to assign to the workers. So Nimbus can keep up with the task growing rates. And actually, we have measured with a micro benchmark that for the worst case that you have a single stage task block, which is the smallest amount of cache block size, you can have task throughput as high as 500,000 tasks per second, almost 500,000. For many applications that we have faced, that's way more than what we would need. And the actual implication is that now that we have within a cloud framework setting, we can actually try to tackle new applications, the applications that used to traditionally be in cloud in high-performance computing domain. So the FISBEM applications that we delivered, it used to be distributed with MPI. It's a very complex application and memory intensive. Task throughput's very high. It's not even comparable to the workload that we deal with in traditional cloud computing frameworks, for example, machine learning algorithms. It has very complex control flow, nested loops, triply nested loop, data-dependent branches, and it requires patching in a very subtle way to actually make it work with its complex control flow model. Here I have a simple example for you. One of the examples that we have, this is a canonical water simulation, water pouring into a glass. It's a pretty complex simulation. It has particle-based values, grid-based values. It has a scalar fields, vector fields, pressure fields. So it has around 40 different variables. And here we are distributing with the Nimbus. If you weren't distributing it, it would take, for example, for these 30 frames, almost 2 days to finish these 30 frames. But with distribution, we could also only finish the simulation within 4 minutes. So with that, I would like to conclude that there used to be only two design points within the cloud computing frameworks for the control plane, either centralized or distributed. I've today talked about execution templates as a control plane mechanism, which you can also have task throughputs as high as decentralized systems and also keep the scheduling changes cost low, similar to centralized systems. With that, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Very interesting talk, thank you. I actually had a couple of questions. So if you were to try to add this to something like a Spark, what would be involved, do you think?
That's a great question. So the details are drafted in the paper. So there are 3 requirements in the control plane that you would like to have. One is that you would like to have...
Ignore it. I don't know what it is.
You would like to have the workers to be able to communicate data directly without going through the centralized controller. Another one is that you would like to have the task schedule and the granularity of the tasks themselves. So for the Spark, it means that the data model needs The workers need to directly communicate the data without going through the controller. So it requires some changes within the data plane of Spark. We have drafted out the details in the paper. But in the centralized system, such as NIAID or TensorFlow, it would be much easier. You would only need to add edits and basically, because in these systems, caching means, right now, NIAID and TensorFlow, basically, they are caching the entire program. It's one giant execution template. So if you would add edits and also patches to cache at the granularity of basic blocks, you would actually have dynamic control flow and dynamic scheduling.
Okay, interesting. One thing, if you haven't looked at, you might want to look at is Spark streaming, mm-hmm. because one of the performance issues that occurs with Spark streaming is because it's batch-based, so it takes a batch of data and then shoves
right.
it in.
Right.
The launch overhead really kills you
right.
at these, and then there's this horrible trade-off that exists between big batches and
right.
you know
exactly.
bad latency and little batches and bad throughput, so
exactly.
this might help it.
So that would be a great workload that we could look into, as you said, because if you turn the streaming to batch, then you would again have repetitive patterns that you could cache. So that's a great workload we are considering for future work.
Wonderful.
I appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you.